This is Wheezy and the Swish.
Everyone, and
it's the show, Wheezy and the Swish.
WheezyandTheSwish.com. I'm the Swish.
I'm Wheezy.
That's Siggy.
Hi.
Otherwise known as Matts.
Matt H. got called out on some kind of
business.
Technological emergency.
Yeah, like a computer. It was big. It was like one of the major clients, huh?
He had a client. He had to go work on their POS, which I think...
What is that? Piece
that
of shit?
Is well, personal, Matt.
Is that piece of shit?
Point of sale terminal, but...
I don't want to get him in trouble, because I just thought that was like... I actually thought that was a technical terminal. Oh, the POS, but never mind. I hope they don't listen to him.
Maybe he really did mean the other. I don't know.
But
either way, it was probably money.
Anyway, he's not.
My favorite part of the show is when Laura says the date.
Yeah, what is the date? It's the September.
September.
It's September 16th? 19th?
Is it
no.
the 16th or
It's the 17th.
17th. The 17th.
17th is
but it's a Saturday. Saturday, yeah, Saturday September 17th.
And
coming
Laura,
at you from
you had an
Sherman
exciting
Oaks.
Week, didn't you?
This was a very busy week for
now,
me.
Let me just say, later on in the show, we're going to be talking to a gentleman who has a website called Simply Fire, but quite the opposite experience for Laura Swisher this week. Am I not correct?
That is true. I got a job. I got a job.
Wow.
Yeah. That's all I can say. No,
so Burger King is hiring?
Not anymore.
See how we did that?
Well, here's so at my life has pretty much been blogging and an audition here or there, and just a lot of time sitting in front of my own computer, which has been fine. It's been fine. But then earlier this week, I had an audition for a new sort of kind of like a reality show, but not. Basically, a talk soup of reality shows. I don't want to say the name because I didn't ultimately get it. So I did that early in the week, and then I got a callback the next day. But it went straight. It went to like producers and
you mean the
head of the network, the not talk soup show.
Yeah.
So I was like so close, and then in the meantime, the same day that I had a callback, I had an interview for a position on the local television network, which is a news station here in Los Angeles that focuses on sort of lifestyle in Southern California, and it's going to be in 3 million homes, which I think it's already airing. So anyways, I found out that I ultimately did not get the national job.
The soup?
The not talk soup job, which... Really, their loss, can I just say? And I am going to be working for this local television network.
It's a network or is it a cable network?
It's called Local Television Network. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I can't describe. It'll be in your local, like people, you'll probably be able to get it.
But only in LA?
Southern California. And they focus on Southern California, Orange County, and like Laguna. And it's pretty much the entertainment industry. But everybody in the entertainment industry, not just the A-list people. Actually, we won't even touch the A-list people, but we'll be talking about like up-and-coming actors and people that train animals. And so my show is called, the show that I'll be working on is called Rough Cut LA. And, we'll be talking to people in the biz and telling Los Angeles stories. And it's going to be good. I'm excited about it. So I'm going to be writing for the web and helping to produce segments on the street and probably end up in front of the camera as well.
Well, yeah.
So it'll be fun and creative, and everybody should watch locally. And I'll probably be able to grab some interviews from cool people and drop them onto this show. And
oh, sweet!
We'll have some symbiosis. So it's very exciting. So I'm going to be working again and having fun and being creative. I'll continue to be creative. So yay me.
Are you going to change your personality?
Yes.
Okay, good, good, good.
I might only be able to talk to you when we're doing the podcast because I might get too big for the both of you.
Okay, so ask me about...
Hey, Wheezy.
Yeah. The fallout from last week's special guest.
Tell me about the fallout from last week's special guest. We interviewed Ron Zonin last week, and I already knew there was going to be some fallout because I saw our message board on Wheezy and the Swish, and people are, they can't possibly fathom that he might be guilty. And they think that you are, well, you're just stupid.
They think that I'm the reason people think he's guilty, I guess. I think, I don't know, you could better analyze this because you would have more perspective, but I just think that there's a subset of people who have latched themselves onto him,
mm-hmm.
and their little subgroup, the way they receive respect or power within their little subgroup is to do the most to rail against the Michael haters. So they email me furiously, one after the other, and then I think they email each other with the emails they sent to me.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, look what I sent her. Michael's going to love us now.
I can't imagine. See, what I don't understand is the intensity of this mail, because the case is, it's done. You know, it's now, it is history. And so these, because I think the link went up on Court TV, right?
Yeah.
So people still, I guess, congregate there and talk about this, but it's like, no, it's in the past. What are people doing still, really, like?
I can't really explain it, but I will say this.
Tell me.
I'm very proud of this.
Yeah.
Right after our podcast went online, we got our own thread on the Court TV message board.
Nice.
It's called Zone In. It has the nerve to joke about the Jackson case.
How did he joke? I didn't understand that.
It was he.
You brought up my pajamas.
I prodded him. He did not come in here going, like, hey, I got 7 minutes of funny material about this trial. It was me kind of, you know, provoking him to joke.
But it wasn't disrespectful, I don't think.
No, all he said is, I own nothing in silk.
Right.
The guy gets one good line, everybody gets jealous.
He had several good lines, but he didn't come in here saying, hey, you know, let's laugh it up. It was definitely, I was the instigator of that behavior.
Right.
And I take full responsibility. You get mad at me, which is probably why I get more hate mail than he does. But that's okay. You know, he deserves a lot more respect. He tried the case. I was just there. I was there for a couple of days.
Well, it seems like one of the main sentiments is sore losers. Like, oh, you're just, you know, sore losers. Like, as if it's really just about winning or losing. I'm like, no, I think it's more about justice and was justice served. And it's not, like, that's the same thing that I hear about with, like, when George Bush was appointed president of the United States, it's the issue is like, oh, you guys are just sore losers. Like, technically, he wasn't elected. Technically, it would have been Gore, and technically, there was a gross miscarriage of justice by, you know, the disenfranchisement of voters. So it's not really, oh, you guys just can't handle losing. It's more, I'm kind of upset that that there was no justice.
Also, when you use the term sore loser, I think that you're belittling the event that just transpired. This was not a badminton match.
No.
This was something that mattered. This was us trying to keep children safe.
Yeah.
It's not a game.
But you can have disagreement. Like, you could still believe that that Michael Jackson is innocent. That's fine, but it's not so much, we're trying to railroad him because, you know.
No, or we have a vendetta. We're trying to help the world.
Like, anyone cares? Like, yeah, whatever.
And we did what we thought was right. We're not.
So what were some of the opposing viewpoints?
Yeah.
I also, up until about 1993, I probably had as much Michael Jackson CD music as anyone else in there.
Did you get rid of yours?
No. I don't listen to it anymore, but I'm
ABC.
What I wanted to mention was on Court TV, after that thread started about Zonin being on our podcast, today they shut down the Michael Jackson
arena
because it had gotten too nasty.
Because of us?
Because of us.
Yeah, we got it shut
down. Really?
After reading the exchanges and having to close threads due to OT, what's that, overtime?
I don't know.
And fighting. Moving some to correct forum, blah, 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 that this Michael Jackson forum is no longer resourceful for any reason.
Wow.
That's why it's closed.
There was a lot of name calling, I guess, concerning this.
In my opinion.
In my opinion. I am.
It's
all
nice
right, so,
to be the admin.
But since I have a website and people know how to find me, I got a lot of really interesting, and I'm not going to call it hate mail. It was just people that spent a lot of time, an hour and a half, listening to our podcast, and then a great deal of effort went into composing their right. their emails. I mean, hours and hours of work went into this, and I know this can get redundant and boring, but I'll just give you some highlights here. This one, Wheezy and the Swish episode 14. And what I like about this is you see where I've highlighted every time there was an exclamation point, and I should have counted the number of exclamation points, but it's this person was enraged as they sat to type. And it's only slightly short of being all caps. That's okay. How angry this person is. What a load of shit!
That's shit.
Yeah.
For those that can't spell.
You know, prosecution is laughable, Michael. You know, he did not get convicted because the state had no case. There was no evidence. It was slander, innuendos, nothing more. Blah blah blah. Fuck up. Oh, I don't usually curse, but live with it. And you're a pathetic loser. And
you're loser.
So a lot of exclamation points. Now, move on. Next letter is entitled, and they like to politely entitle them, and then compliment
on you,
and then compliment me to get me to open
that.
Yeah. Your latest podcast. Good day, Ms. Palanker. I'm just writing to comment on your latest podcast, which was an interview with Santa Barbara Deputy District Attorney Ronald Zonin. I must say that the cast in its entirety was entertaining and not in a positive way. And then it goes on to just lambaste me. And then these are pages and pages of these. Each email is pages and pages long, you guys. Moving down, scrolling down. Your interview with Mr. Zonin was full of inaccuracies, and though many don't know who you are, the few who do listen to you will take Mr. Zonin's opinions, which they put in quotes, mm-hmm. of Michael Jackson to be factual when the prosecutor, nor his team, did much to introduce much of what he says. And they write really well, these people. This isn't me stumbling over words. This is right. how it was typed. Okay. How can anyone listen to an otherwise credible man who claims that we should suspect someone to be a child predator simply for the fact that he came to court one day in pajamas?
Yeah, that's it.
I think one day is enough.
I don't really care about, that's clearly a joke, but simply for the fact that he wears pajamas.
One
that
day.
That fact and simply for the fact that he sleeps with young boys.
But Laura, he only came to court in pajamas one day.
Yeah.
Only one day.
That's
it. It's hilarious because
you're going to read into that what?
You know, and the day that he chose was the day that the young accuser was on the stand. So, what does that prove? Nothing. I don't know if anyone else on the planet has ever come to court on any day in pajamas ever.
I'm sure they have.
Was Michael just like, oh, I thought it was a drive-in movie.
He didn't want to bother.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and then
know.
This one goes on and on and on. Oh, that's like five. When you print it out, that email is like seven pages long.
But who are these people that have this much time?
I
don't understand.
I don't know. Oh, here's my favorite. Look at the heading. It invites me to open it.
Wow. Ron, was that sent to our account? Is that sent to Wheezy and the Swish?
Was sent to...
I think it might have.
I don't know.
I read one that, again, it started out that...
Ron Zonin, and it's from Frankie Santiago. Wow, Wheezy, great interview. Now I truly understand why your comic career has never taken off. Vindication is sweet, and after your Sour Grapes interview, I realize it's that much sweeter. Thanks for giving us all a good laugh. See, you're funny after all.
How is that vindication?
I don't know.
Okay, anyways.
And then this one... I don't know. I don't want to. I want to get to the one that I'm going to.
Is there a special one? Yeah.
Yeah. I want to close.
Otherwise, they all sound pretty much. You know. It's
this
like,
one
blah,
says.
Blah, blah.
This one says you, and Zonin, and the U is spelled U.
Nice.
And then, but here's the tricky part about this one. It's very lengthy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's acting like she's either a juror or someone who was in court. And I'm going to read you a passage from it.
Okay.
And tell me what you make of this. Because it wasn't televised.
Right.
Nobody knows what my face looked like or what anyone else's face looked like.
So you think this is some insider
email? Or pretending to be.
Because
sometimes on court TV they pose as jurors and stuff.
Okay.
I admire your ability to constantly make yourself look foolish. That's not a compliment.
Mm-mm, okay. Not at all.
I remember with a smile on my face how Melissa Herod and Mike Stevens, and I don't know who those people are, laughed and chuckled when you couldn't come up with a decent excuse for your words, and I recall your face when Mesro explained to you in detail what Janet alleged against the guards from Penny's. You remember, as George would say. Is she talking about George Lopez?
I have no idea.
The guards took out her, and this is graphic, I'm sorry. The guards took out her breasts and squeezed her nipples 10 to 25 times. And then she closes.
Wait, was that supposed to be true? Like,
well, that's how Mesro introduced himself to me. Hi, I'm Thomas Mesro. I represent Mr. Jackson. And then he launched into, were you aware that Janet claimed that the JCPenney guards took out her breasts and squeezed her nipples? And I just thought, well, he knows how to talk to the ladies, doesn't he? That was his opening question to me.
Wow.
It was like he was trying.
That would probably, yeah, that was
trying to throw
me
off balance, and
that
just,
would disarm
I just looked
me.
At him and I said,
"I thought it was Sears." That's what that would have been my response.
I thought it was 30.
She lied to me. She said Sears.
I thought it was 30 to 70 times. She closes. She wants to know who's going to bail them out the next time. I'm betting Snedden or Jay Jackson. How much you want to wager? And then it's signed Katie Burrell. So whoever you Jackson people that I'm sure are still listening, is that
right.
Supposed to be a juror?
I have no idea.
Because how does she know what my face or Mesro's faces were doing at any particular point in the proceedings?
So anyway. They're angry.
And they even went on my blog site and were harassing me there. And my final comment to the people that came onto my blog site and harassed me there was, I'm sure that underneath your rock, or wherever it is from which you crawled, there are Michael Jackson support groups and websites and message boards and chat rooms. Have you noticed that I am not on there bothering you? Our opinions differ. This is my blog. Go away. Thank you. And so I'm just going to...
That is true. There
I'm
going to
delete everything else I get. Oh, and I had some stuff that also on the Court TV message boards before we shut it down.
Yeah.
Because one person was writing that, I can't believe a prosecutor for the state conducts an interview with a witness. And then someone wrote this. Her name is Insomnia. And he wrote, well, I guess Martin missed that Mesro was a guest on Jay Leno. Now, you'll recall that Jay Leno was a witness.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And his show probably has a bigger audience than ours.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
A couple more people.
Yeah.
And so thank you, Insomnia, for sticking up for me. And then they quoted, like, someone sat down and transcribed pages of our interview with Mr. Zonin.
Sweet.
Pages and pages of it.
Where can people get that?
Do we have to pay them for that? Or?
No, that's awesome. where is it? Where can people...
It's on the Court TV message boards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And since it's already been transcribed, we can just cut and paste it onto our website.
Sure.
If people want to read it. It's the part about...
That's a good idea. That is a good idea. Because I can tell you I am not going to sit down and transcribe.
Untapped resource here.
I don't know if I'll listen to... I haven't listened. Did you listen to the interview?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. So I didn't listen to it.
I did.
Did you listen to it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I have to. I have to mix it.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Zonin was good.
Otherwise.
And we were present. But he was good.
We were just present?
Yeah. No, we were good.
Did I have some good... Uh-huh.
You know what? You really did your research really well. And I want to just read one thing that someone wrote on Court TV. Someone whose screen name is No Bahrainer. Which is, that's a good screen name.
Yeah.
Because that's where allegedly Michael Jackson is. He wrote that, looks like Ron Zonin has moved on quite nicely. What a rape your wit. Go, Ron. And then a guy waving a flag.
Uh-huh.
And then it says, your fans are, you fans are still griped over the fact that Mikey's acquittal did absolutely nothing for him. And then he went on to say, so you see, there's tons and tons of jokes about this, and there always will be. Ron did his job and did it well. It's Miller time for him, and I hope he hosts a weekly comedy variety show about his stint on Planet Mikey. And that's what I'm going to close with, because I just think that we... just when you speak the truth, there's some people that aren't going to want to hear it.
Yeah.
And both Laura and I have... toenail polish, and that's evidence, I think, that we have a good show, and that we're groomed, and that we care about people.
Yeah.
I have no toenail polish this week. What does that mean?
You're a guy.
You have to get a pedicure.
You're a guy.
Yeah, I'm due for a pedicure.
Just hoping I wouldn't have to start coming in.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Matt. I didn't mean to interrupt you. The other thing I wanted to mention is that that podcast, the last one, we received more comments than we broke our record. I think so far we have like 35 comments.
Oh, nice.
And if you guys are listening and you want to take on the people who came out from under their rocks,
right,
go on our website and please take them on, because I'm too close to it, and I've run out of things to say to them.
Well, there's nothing to say. I mean, it's really, it's not like it's a discussion. It's just people have their views, and they get angry. And I mean, no one's changing anyone's mind.
No,
so.
No one's changing anyone's mind.
All right. What else do we have? What else do you have?
Well, did I tell you that the guy that when I was looking for a female friend on MySpace, or any female friend at all, and I got one from Andy, A-N-D-I.
Oh, right.
He turns out to be a
guy. Brit. Yeah.
And that's how they spell Andy in England. Isn't he cute?
He is. He's very handsome, yes. And he's got the number 3. I am a man. He wrote that in all caps.
The picture pretty much spoke that.
And he said, and then I guess this really disturbed him. He's like, I've also found other male Andys on the web, because... But A-N-D-I, that's generally the female spelling. Using an I at the end is a female spelling.
Here in the U.S.
Okay. So and he's in from, he listens to us from England,
yeah.
I believe.
Isn't
which
that
is
great?
That's exciting. Andy, how did you find us? Were you how'd you find us? How do people in England even know who we are at all? But anyway, so yes, we apologize for calling you a lady. You're clearly a male, and touche.
I might have finally gotten a female friend on MySpace, but I think it's just because Nick had her write to me. It was a friend of Nick's, so I'm not sure it counts. But we may have discussed this already, and I think we have a phone call to make. Oh, you were going to call a guy.
I was going to call a guy because I read a story about a man getting fired for eating a slice of pizza. This story is all over the internet. Man gets fired for eating a slice of pizza. So then I determined it was from a website called simplyfired.com, which shares the best I was fired stories from, you know, I guess people from all over the world. And I just thought it was like, that could be a fun conversation. The guy, he ate 2 pieces of pepperoni pizza left over from a company meeting, and he was named the winner of an offbeat internet contest that solicited stories about outrageous firings. And guess what he gets for getting fired? Guess
fired?
What? Fired? In addition to getting fired, which is probably a good thing.
What does he get?
He gets a cruise. He runs a free Caribbean cruise that will include passengers famously fired by Donald Trump on his popular television show, The Apprentice.
I heard the story differently.
Really? What'd you hear?
Yes, I heard that he was eating a slice of pizza off a hooker's ass during a board meeting.
Oh, maybe they left that out.
They did. They left that detail.
Well, I wanted to find out who's behind this. Because also, it's like I did a search, man fired for eating slice. Guess how many Google hits it had, this story?
Do I have to?
No, you don't.
How about if you just tell me?
33,000.
Oh, my God!
Which means that he's doing a good job. So we're going to talk to the guy, the director of marketing for the site. His name is Dave McClure.
Oh, Dave.
Dave, we're going to see what's going on behind this site.
Is Dave on the phone?
This marks our very first time calling someone.
It's our first phoner.
It's our first phoner.
I'm excited.
What's today, by the way? We've already covered that at the beginning of the show.
Remember,
probably.
It's Saturday.
Remember,
we tape our podcast.
I remember
on Saturdays
we're taping. Okay, Matt is.
Wait! Hold on. That was me doing the sound of us making.
We'll
a phone
see if
call.
It works. I'm very excited.
You guys think it was really the sound of someone making a phone call?
I'm afraid. What if we're gonna have?
This is Matt calling from Wheezy and the Swish.
Oh, it's going.
I'm good. How are you?
I think he's gonna patch him through.
Good. If you hold on for a moment, I'm gonna put.
They're
you
getting
on
along.
With the girls here.
Patching us through.
All right. I'm very excited.
Should be just fine.
Oh, cool. I don't know if we got a cell phone or not.
Say hello to Laura and Wheezy.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Laura. Hi, Wheezy.
Hey there.
You're our first phoner.
Awesome.
Yeah. Are you proud?
I don't know. The other times I've been on the phone, it's, well, anyway.
But it wasn't with us, was it? No, it wasn't. Make a note in your diary. All right, so Laura's going to ask you a question.
Well, here's the thing. So I was, you know, reading these stories of people getting fired, and then I decided, because I wanted to find out what was going on, and I did a Google search for man fired for eating a slice of pizza. 33,000 hits. There are 33,000 hits for that. So this story has gotten a lot of play.
Wait, it might have been 33,000 different guys.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was the stories. Which means that you, as the director of marketing for SimplyFire.com, are doing a bang-up job.
Well, I can't take credit for all of it, but I will say I'm happy to be lucky and in the right place at the right time.
No, it's not about luck. It's about superiority, which you can claim.
So
we did a few things that we thought would help get it started, but I think it did take on a life of its own after that.
How many interviewers have asked you this question, Dave? Are you ready? Okay. Hey, Dave, have you ever been fired?
I have to say yes, I have been. I was laid off anyway. But.
Oh, that's so. It's not a huge story.
Laid off.
Your own firing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the more bizarre firing stories that you guys collected?
There were quite a few bizarre ones. I'd say probably in the bizarre category, the one that a lot of people wanted to win was the person who was entertaining themselves with a prosthetic on company time.
Oh, they were sword fighting with the... Oh, no, that was a different...
No, that's the other one, okay. But yes. And someone who worked at a prosthetic manufacturer was entertaining themselves with the product.
Now, when you say entertaining, I picture him unzipping his pants and putting a fake hand on his penis. Do I have that correct?
I think you have a lot more information than was told in the story, but I think the making love alone description is probably accurate.
I'm good at deductive reasoning.
That's got to be embarrassing.
We had an interesting question at first to try and figure out, was that a guy or a girl who sent that in?
It's got to be a guy.
Yeah, well,
girls don't act that way.
Right,
Dave, girls don't act that way.
No.
Did he use his real name?
No comment. Thank you.
Did this guy use his real name?
He did not use his real name, but the person who moderates our forum, I believe, had some communication, and you know, I think it was relatively apparent.
Well, you know what I have to say for that guy? At least he's dating.
Safe sex.
Yes.
But he was the favorite, and yet he didn't win. It was Pizza Boy who won.
Well, I think a lot of people split votes on various things. But in any case, we all thought that was a great story. The judges all thought that was a great story. But I think the pizza story just hit everybody as just being incredibly unfair and tragic. Because I think it's probably something we've all done, or at least considered doing at some time, is, you know, grab a couple extra slices in the fridge that were left over, and, you know, to have this guy get fired for that just seems so unfair.
That's great. It's probably one of those people that labels their food, and it was like the straw that broke the camel's back.
I think the thing that was going on was that there had been refrigerator thefts at that company, not by that guy, but so he was made an example of.
Zero tolerance.
You know what it felt like to me, exactly what you just said, Dave, when I read it, was that it sounds like a last straw type of scenario. Like, this was not the first infraction, or people were just fed up for other reasons about other things, and then this was the reason he got fired, but not really.
Yeah, and in fact, there were people, not that we could verify definitely, but there were other people who said they were from his company who were actually commenting on that thread. And even somebody's blog post we saw, who was supposedly a friend of the guy at the company, sort of said, yeah, not at all this guy's character. None of that we can specifically corroborate, but it certainly sounded like the story was.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, you know what I used to do when I would put food in the company refrigerator, because people just, they do eat out of the company fridge. It's very frustrating. So what I would do is on my
poison it.
Well, not quite, but on my box of leftovers, I would write, "I spit in this." It's pretty effective.
Yeah, well,
it
I'm sure that was.
I always wrote that on other people's food so that they would give it up.
You spit in their food.
Yeah.
The Volkswagen commercial where the guy licks the car, right?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't get somebody else to buy it somebody else was going to buy it.
He was probably fired.
Now, how did you guys, who were the judges that you guys used? Because actually, I checked on your site to see who the judges were, and you guys kind of have a veritable who's who of like internet world folk.
Well, and that was kind of the angle. So I guess, you know, the thing that I wanted to at least take credit for initially was we figured, I don't know if everybody outside the Silicon Valley area knew about this story, but there was this guy, Mark Jen, who used to work at Microsoft, got hired to go work at Google, and within the first 2 weeks of working at Google, was fired because he was blogging about Google.
Right.
And, so, you know, it was a somewhat well-reported story in the Silicon Valley area. I don't know if it was.
I remember that. I read about it.
But Dave, it's so logical. So, if you're blogging about Google, anyone can Google it.
Well, he probably wasn't real smart about that.
Yeah.
But in any case, he was relatively well known for being fired for blogging, and so we happened to know a few folks who knew him, got a hold of him, and he was willing to sort of be a spokesperson, you know, poster child for us to get the contest off the ground.
Awesome.
And then we also recruited a bunch of other, you know, well known bloggers and people, not necessarily who'd been fired, but other people in the internet kind of arena to be judges, and the basic idea was that they were already people who were well-published,
mm-hmm.
and so by having them be judges, you know, we get an opportunity for them to either write about it or other people to write about them.
Do you think that that has helped get it so many hits?
I think that helped get it started, but really, you know, I would have to say the success was just so many people jumped in and told their story.
Yeah.
While I'd like to take credit for engineering a great start, you know, the thing took off with a life of its own.
That's awesome. And what are you hoping to do with the site?
Well, initially we were, you know, thinking let's give this a shot and see what happens with it. What's sort of been lost in this whole story is that our real business is running this other website that's called Simply Hired, mm-hmm. which is about helping find, you know, people jobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, fired people need them.
That, exactly. And so, you know, this was a, you know, it wasn't a complete stunt PR. It was really relevant to what we were doing. And the hope was that people who came to Simply Fired would come over to Simply Hired. But I don't know that we were sure we were going to do this on a continuing basis. When we ended the contest, we just kept getting stories.
Wow.
We decided to do another contest, and we're doing one right now in September, mainly because, you know, the volume just never died down. And in fact, when we did the follow-up PR announcing Jim Garrison, who was the winner, the guy who got fired for eating pizza, mm-hmm. we got a whole other set of, you know, press mentions and stories. And, you know, everywhere. We got people in Japan and Russia and China and Australia, like, people writing about this story. Like, I swear, we like, hey, like, does anybody speak Portuguese in the office? What does this blog say?
That is awesome.
That's so
You
cool.
know what you guys need to do is you got to try and get all the fired people new jobs, and then you can put, then you could have those stories on Simply Hired. Huh?
Well, I think eventually we'll run a, you know, who found the best job kind of contest.
Oh, that's good.
But I will say that, you know, the whole, you know, if it bleeds, it leads theme, people like to hear about the pain and suffering, I think, a lot more than the happy story. In any case, we had a wonderful response still going on. And I think there was a serious side to it. You know, once people started seeing other people post about, like, how they got fired or laid off, I think those folks sort of opened up and were eager to tell their stories, too.
Right.
So I think, you know, there's sort of this taboo about people who, a lot of people have actually been laid off or fired, but, you know, wouldn't ever admit to it. But then once you have this forum where everybody's sort of discussing it, everybody jumps in and sort of says, yeah, well, I was fired, too, for this, or mm-hmm. I was laid off for that.
And it makes you feel better when you have company, and you're not
alone. I think for some folks there's catharsis. I don't know if everybody feels that way, but there's certainly a lot of folks who do, you know, want to tell their story, and hopefully, you know, for those people, you know, getting it out maybe helps them, you know, move along.
And I would hope, too, that, you know, this isn't funny, but I would just hope that when you do get fired, you learn from it what not to do next time. Because I've had to fire a lot of people, and that was part of my little pep talk. I would say, I hope that when you go out and get your next job, that you'll learn from this experience and you'll refrain from the type of behaviors or lack of behaviors, which is usually what would get people fired, is just not doing their job, and that you'll learn from this and move forward.
I think that there's probably some folks who never quite pick that up, but I do think there's actually a whole group of people who might be able to learn from other people's pain and not get fired.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, especially when we did the story, the press release about Jim winning the prize, one of the things we did was say, here's the top five reasons that people get fired. And
what are they? Excellent.
I'm not sure I remember all of them, but, you know, certainly one of them, a recurring theme, was like office politics and personality issues.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was around, sort of almost illegal issues around medical-related firing. So typically you can't fire someone legally for medical reasons, but mm-hmm. a lot of times people seem to manufacture or come up with reasons, other reasons. You know, when someone had sort of an injury or disease or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite sad.
That's very bad.
There's a lot of people who were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I think Jim certainly was one of those. Like, you know, wasn't really their fault, just really unlucky situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just really people doing obviously dumb or stupid things, and, you know, I think sexual harassment or sexually related adult things sort of fall into that category where, you know, and almost anybody who looked at the situation would say, yeah, you're being stupid, and yes, you deserve to be fired.
But that was a hilarious story, and thanks for sharing.
Please keep doing it and submitting.
All right, well,
I think there is, you know, one observation that maybe is a takeaway for other people is, you know, if you don't do something stupid and you at least show up to your job reasonably, you know, within regular working hours, it's actually kind of hard to get fired.
That is true.
And what we sort of found was that people who had, because of all the liability issues and other things that, you know, people were anxious about firing people, usually if there was a poor performance or other type of issue, that wasn't why they got fired. When they made a mistake or, you know, sort of put themselves in vulnerable territory, that's when maybe they got laid off or fired for something that people had already sort of made a decision about, but we're waiting for something to kind of have an excuse.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're right, Dave. If you're a great employee and you mess up a little bit, it's acceptable. If there's a million reasons and everyone hates you anyway, one little thing and you're gone. And I know this because I headed up a staff of 50 or 60 people.
There we
people.
Go again.
Yes, yeah, sorry.
I fired a lot of people. I'm important. I'm powerful. We get it. Weezy.
I've also been fired. But actually, I was laid off, like Dave.
Oh.
Because it was a slump in the industry.
Yeah, well, out here in Silicon Valley, if you weren't laid off sometime in the last 5 years, people sort of feel like you were.
Who are you
really
sleeping with?
Exactly.
Dave, thank you so much for coming on the show. And so if people want to get advice to be hired, they should go to simplyhired.com.
You bet. We have over 4 million jobs. We're the largest search engine out there, and we're trying to help everybody find a job in a really simple, easy way.
Is this a national or located mainly in the Silicon Valley? Or?
All across the U.S.
Right on. Yep. Okay, well, everyone check it out, simplyhired.com, and for laughs, check out simplyfire.com. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
You know, so there's one thing that Dave said that kind of reminded me of a bit of audio I heard not too long ago.
What was that?
Well, you know, what Dave said was one of the big reasons that people get fired is sexual harassment in the workplace or, you know, issues like that. And I don't know if you know this, but Pat O'Brien, perhaps you've heard of him. He
Access Hollywood?
Yes.
Is he Entertainment Tonight? Access Hollywood.
One of those. And has done sports casting and so forth. Very well-known guy. Not too long ago, ended up suddenly in rehab. And I got my hands on some voicemails that he left a coworker just prior to his sudden stint in rehab. And they're rather explicit, so... I'll just go ahead and play them here.
Are you, wait, hold on. Are you suggesting there might be a connection with his stint in rehab and these voicemails?
You know, I wouldn't make the connection because obviously, as all those people on the message boards said, we really don't know what the heck we're talking about. But I'll just I'll let everybody listening decide that.
All right.
Okay, Matt, you have to interpret, because Matt speaks fluent Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
Because he's in radio, and they sit around talking about these messages.
All we know is weird skills, but the person that he left them for obviously recorded these by just holding a microphone up to a speakerphone. So the
is
first one or two is a little hard to hear, but then they get a little clearer.
Oh, good.
Kind of entertaining.
They sound like they're coming from beyond the grave.
He was trying to be discreet with this first one. He was whispering, but I believe that what he said was, "I want to fucking go crazy with you."
Yikes.
Sweet.
he stops the discreet thing after this one, and he's easier to hear.
To copy this message to another person, press 6. To delete this message and go to the next, press 7.
I like that that's recorded.
She's being completely inappropriate.
You are so fucking hot. And I want to eat you.
I want to beat you?
You needed a
translate. Oh, that's different.
Yeah, okay. I won't translate. I don't think I can stand to translate.
Wheezy's so innocent, she can't even hear bad words.
I want you to suck my cock.
Yeah. Oh, I heard that. I
want us to adopt.
Yes, that's it.
Wow,
that's
moving pretty fast.
Look at the clock, yeah.
I'm gonna fuck you. I don't want my girlfriend to meet you. It's so fucking hot.
Wait, Matt, interpret that part, because you already told me that what that was.
So
this is hilarious.
Yeah, no, he keeps referring to Betsy.
Betsy?
He's hitting on a girl by saying, "I want my girlfriend to meet you."
Yeah, I don't think that Betsy is his wife.
Is he married?
He's got a wife, a girlfriend, and now this girl.
He has a wife and a girlfriend.
Well, I haven't heard any recent updates. He may not have a wife any longer. I don't know.
Wow. But,
apparently he can only do this if the girl is up for Betsy, too.
Thank you, Pat.
Go in the bathroom and leave me a voicemail. Bye.
Okay, bye.
So, if you get this, go into the bathroom, leave me a voicemail, let me know, give me a high sign.
Is this a coworker? This is all over the news. I'd never actually listened to these tapes.
Yeah, I believe it was a coworker.
Yikes.
To copy the saved message Sunday.
And she has no idea what's happening. She's just acting like nothing's going on. Oh, my God. See, here's what's funny, Laura. Betsy's so jealous is funny to me because he already has a wife. So Betsy has no right to be jealous of anybody, does?
Oh, man. Betsy. But I like that that's how, like, yeah, that you would tell a woman that you want to sleep with, like, oh, this other woman is so jealous of you. Which I don't know if that's flattering or, wow, that's how you're going to treat me when you meet someone else.
I don't think he was in his right mind when he left these messages. Just a hunch.
But you have to be in the Betsy. I told Betsy that you ran to her.
He lied.
And if you get this message, just look at me and say yes.
Just
I want to fucking lick your pussy.
So
he's such an ass.
So he's leaving these messages, and I don't know. I'm picturing this like she's sitting in the same room. Just look at me and say yes.
She probably, like, you know, glanced up for something, and he's like, oh, sweet.
She wants me.
She wants me.
That's that.
See, and make you come.
Yeah.
I think we get the idea.
We get the gist.
Get the idea. And I don't like you guys picking on my current boyfriend, Pat O'Brien. I mean, just because I'm fourth, that doesn't mean he loves me any less than that girl or Betsy right. or the wife.
Did you have to? I can't even ask that. Never mind.
Hey.
I like
you know,
it.
You know, the heart wants what it wants.
See, it's unfortunate that that Bill O'Reilly's
oh, dude, can't we hear those?
Coworker. I don't think that those are online at all.
That'd be awesome.
That would be sweet. But I think there's like an injunction. Or I don't did they have tapes? Or they were threatened. She threatened to have like that there were tapes.
Yeah, never found those.
There was a settlement though.
I don't follow my sex scandals as closely as
there was
as
a settlement. When they're delicious like this, yeah, you kind of have to. Like the Bill O'Reilly thing, that's just that
well,
is so nice.
Well, what's he alleged to have said? Just so that we can.
Oh, I think it's beyond alleged. I mean, no, he just disgusting things with like a loofah pad in a shower, and I'll have to go online and search, but it gets really graphic, and you just, I mean, it would be nice. Like, I wouldn't mind you know, like a Tom Cruise getting really graphic, but this is Bill O'Reilly.
Hey, you know what it sounds like?
No,
it sounds like guys before they leave obscene phone calls, they look through our bathrooms to come up with really cool references, because Prince Charles, he had the whole
the tampon thing, yeah.
And Bill O'Reilly had the loofah.
Guys aren't very inventive, I guess. And
loofah's
I mean,
inventive to me, to be able to say that.
Very abrasive, though. but, yeah, with these Pat O'Brien voicemails, I mean, there's 5 or 6 minutes worth of material there, and certainly we're not the first to have covered this, but I found a website that does a great job with this.
It's a play-by-play.
The website is newgrounds.com, and they have a great flash graphic that does the play-by-play and has counters for how many times he says each line and how many times he says the word fuck. And
he's they keep stats.
Yeah.
Which is great because he comes from sports.
He keeps going back to his favorites.
What's his favorite word?
Fuck.
What's his second favorite word?
Well, his favorite lines, there's a, actually.
I'm guessing I want to suck your, is one of them.
It's one of them, but.
You have to be into Betsy.
Used 9 times in the 5 minutes is, I want to go crazy with you.
He's already gone crazy all by
himself.
Coming
in a close second, 8 times, you're so fucking hot.
See, that's just smooth.
Yeah.
So, but. Matt and I need to disclose that we are both acquaintances of Pat O'Brien.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He used to come to Premier Radio and record one of his sports shows. Oh. And he would come with his young son. And I was the babysitter while he went in and recorded. So I came to be very fond of this young son who has the opposite personality of Pat O'Brien. Just a really...
So he's gay.
Just a great kid. Just a sweet, great kid. And we would do things like make piles of books, stacks of books, like stair steps, and then get the slinky to go down the books.
How old was he?
Oh, 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Pat would come in, and he would hold a conversation with me while looking at his reflection in the window behind me.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you mean he might be vain?
Yeah. And then,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
well,
surprising.
I found him to be slightly arrogant, although very pleasant. All the time, and I'm a little offended that I never received any of these types of phone calls from him.
The thing is, I would imagine just with the lawsuits that a man in like with a high profile position would be smart enough not to leave evidence. Like, you know, if you're going to say something like pass her in the hall, like mumble something under your breath, chances are she's not going to have a recording device on her. But to leave it on a voicemail?
To say anything just, to begin with speaks to simple, I mean, lack of sense about the whole thing. And like I said, I think he was perhaps in an altered state of consciousness.
So I have another question.
Yeah.
What girl falls for this?
Oh, I don't know.
What girl listens to these messages and goes... Oh, my God.
Women in Los Angeles.
I am into Betsy.
Women in Los Angeles.
And this is hot.
And he will take me out to dinner.
So,
and I'm going to...
What you're saying is that he's done this in the past and it has worked.
I'm saying if you are a television personality making a lot of money, you will find people to that will sleep with you.
And Betsy.
I don't know if... I'd be embarrassed if I was Betsy. Hey, do you guys want? Do we want to play the news game?
Yeah, Laura brought a news game today.
The same as
hey, but before we get to that, I was wondering: is Paul Anka still upset?
That's a very good question. Let me check with Paul.
Check with Paul, see if he's still upset. Last when we checked, he was very, very upset.
Yeah.
See, this would be funnier if I had it queued up.
If it was gone. Izzy, we're checking to see if...
Open the door and see if Paul Anka, who practices...
I get shirts.
How's that again, Paul?
I get shirts.
I get shirts?
He's upset. You don't get a conductor that'll sit and ride your asses. Is that what you want?
No, we don't want that, Paul. Mm-hmm. Why would he think we would want that?
He is still a bit upset.
He's upset.
Very mad.
He's upset.
All right. So I got feedback. I get feedback now on the games.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
And I think people are liking it, but the last bit was like because we had six stories, and so the person couldn't. But yeah, it's hard to keep track of what all the stories were.
I would be so into now, the game, but you also have to be into Betsy.
I'm into Betsy.
Okay.
So this is three stories. It's way streamlined. Three stories. One completely real, one completely fake.
Okay.
And one the headline's
bisexual.
Real, and the story is fake.
I finally feel like I'm the intellectual equal of this game.
I know. I couldn't keep track of how they're making you guys, whatever.
The game was really dumb.
Are you guys kind of, I feel like you're a little bit making fun of me right now.
Maybe.
So three stories. So it's very simple for everyone also to follow at home.
We're ready to play.
All right. First story. 40-year-old virgin sues the 40-year-old virgin.
Wow.
A neighbor of actor Steve Carell has filed a lawsuit against Universal Pictures claiming the film is based on his own life. The mad Edward Pantone, 43, says no one got permission from him for the story rights and says it's more than a coincidence that there are so many similarities between his life and the film. Pantone, a virgin, works in the electronics section at Sears and has a sizable collection of anime DVDs and characters. The movie stars Carell as a 40-year-old virgin who works in an electronics store and collects action figures. His buddies make it their mission to find him a woman. Pantone claims that everyone he knows that's seen the movie assumes the character is based on him. People at work call me Andy, he says, a reference to the movie's lead character. It's embarrassing. I just want to do my job. Universal hasn't commented on the lawsuit, and Carell's agent said Pantone's claim was meritless. The suit was filed in New York City.
I think it's groundless, and I will tell you why.
Okay.
Every 40-year-old man who works in an electronics store and collects action figures is a virgin, and he is multiplied 100,000-fold nation and worldwide. So this guy needs to...
So there's a lot of... So there's a ton of 40-year-old virgins.
We used to work with one.
Really?
Me and Matt, we're not going to mention any names, but he's now getting married.
He got married.
And we're assuming he will soon be getting laid.
Wow. Well, you would hope. All right, here's the second...
I'm not going to mock the poor guy.
We love him!
He might actually listen to this.
I hope he does.
And then he'll be filled with angst.
No,
he's going to think
no,
that
No, Matt, he's already filled with angst.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Unless he's getting some.
Angst is his morning beverage.
All right, so next story number two. Very two, and there's just three.
We're halfway through.
New Trojan swaps porn for Quran. Sex may sell in the United States, but not in Dubai. In a bid to gain a Middle East market presence, Trojan Condoms has quietly introduced packaging featuring Quranic verses on condoms. Each condom contains a message for its user, such as Allah is love or blessed be Allah. Dubai is one of the wealthiest cities in the United Arab Emirates, and its citizens have some of the freest attitudes towards sex of any Islamic regions. Story number two.
Okay. I need to hear all the evidence, please. Thank
you. All right. Story number three. Diddy was dropped by his fans. Diddy was left floored after he tried to crowd surf at a concert and was dropped by his fans. The rapper, formerly known as P. Diddy, was performing at a top Ibiza nightclub space. Oh, wait. Was performing at top Ibiza nightclub space when the embarrassing mishap took place. According to revelers, the hip-hop star got so excited during the performance, he leapt into the crowd, but instead of catching him, they moved out of the way and let him hit the floor. One onlooker said he took a dive from the stage expecting to be caught by his fans, but no one caught him, and he landed with a thud on the floor. After picking himself up, Diddy, real name Sean Combs, reportedly limped back on stage and carried on. The rap star changed his name for a fourth time in July after claiming he was sick of the old moniker and tired of people never knowing whether to call him P or Diddy. So we got three stories. The 40-year-old virgin suing the 40-year-old virgin. New Trojan swaps porn for Koran. And Diddy was dropped by his fans.
You want to go first, Matt?
Oh, sure. Put me on the spot. I think the 40-year-old virgin story was true headline, false story.
Okay.
And my big clue there was neighbor of the actor. The actor probably had nothing to do with the story, but maybe it was a neighbor of the director or something.
Okay.
I'm betting the condom story is completely true.
Okay.
His marketing people come up with brilliant ideas, and maybe that was one.
All right.
And I think the Diddy story is false.
Okie doke.
Saying Diddy is fun, though.
All right, Wheeze.
I think the 40-year-old virgin story is all true because I think Steve Carell, the actor, is the man behind the story. And I think the Trojan story is half true and half false. And I think the P. Diddy story is false.
Okay. Well, you guys are wrong. Well, Wheezy got one right. Wheezy got the half-half one.
And I flip-flopped on the other two?
Yeah, and you're wrong about the other two. Okay. So the 40-year-old virgin is completely false.
Oh, good writing.
The new Trojan swaps porn for Koran is a true headline fake story. I will read you the real story.
Okay.
A new Trojan circulating is on a moral mission against porn sites. Instead of snooping for sensitive financial information or taking control of a computer, the Trojan, called Yusufali A, monitors web surfing habits. When it spots an objectionable term such as sex or exhibition in the browser's title bar, it hides the website and instead pops up a message from the Koran.
Interesting.
So wow. you go to your favorite like horny teens, and the next thing you know is Allah is watching you, and you don't get the porn at all. There's no penetration, just Allah.
That may be a very effective way of stopping people from viewing such sites, because if you might really think you're being watched.
Yeah, that's true. Except I have a feeling that most, well, maybe not. Well, I think there's a lot of savvy people that are going to sort of know. But I like that. I hope that the religious right does stuff like this as well, because I think that'd be kind of fun.
Do you think that
God's watching you?
Do you think Michael has seen this message yet?
Michael
Jackson
in Bahrain.
Oh, because he's in an Arab nation.
I don't know.
I don't
Could
know.
Be. I'm sure he's hiding it.
Do you think he surfs the web and goes to and reads the all of the nasty email at Wheezy and the Swish?
No, I don't think so. But the Diddy dropped by his fans. That's absolutely true. So you guys both got that one wrong.
Why'd they drop Diddy?
I think that's hilarious. I have a friend who loves Ibiza, and he goes like almost every year. And he said, like, so I guess Diddy, as he's now known, goes often to Ibiza, and they always have the rave parties. Like the parties don't start until 12 in the morning. And he was saying that he was all attitude. And like when you go there, it's about the music. It's about sort of just letting yourself go, like removing all your inhibitions. And Diddy goes there and he's got his posse and, he thinks he's the shit. And people don't, it's Ibiza. So like most people they don't care that he's Diddy. They don't, it's like he's just probably an arrogant American guy that thinks he's like so cool. And Diddy like still walks around as if he's like, yeah, I'm Diddy. But no one in Europe cares. And so I just love
just
that he does a stage dive. Like I'm sure if it was New York, the crowd probably would have had him. But he's in Ibiza. He's in Europe. No one gives a crap. And he just face plants it in the floor.
So he did a big Diddy dumping.
I think that's hysterical.
That is awesome. I wish that would be great if someone had that on Oh, my gosh. If someone had that on camera.
That would be awesome. It's kind of like that volleyball in gym class thing where you're standing next to another apathetic teenager, and you both go, yours, yours, and the ball just kind of lands right between right. two of you. Both easily could have gotten it. But
it's not as funny because no one gets hurt.
Yeah. You're mean, Laura. Yeah. A mean girl. So I have an update on the two. This is from early in our podcasting days.
Okay.
But I remember the angel? Yeah, the singing
yeah.
angel. Well, you had predicted. Okay, the two stories were I had a 54-year-old music engineering friend who was hot for a singing angel who's 24.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had my friend Deb who's hot for her boss.
Right.
And he was flirting with her just relentlessly.
Right.
And they were all kicking each other.
Yes, there was a lot of touching and, you know, physical foreplay, if you will.
Right.
But, you know, fully clothed and at work. But he was her boss, so we thought that that was the reason. Okay. Update. And you had predicted that Deb and the boss thing was going to work out and the other one wouldn't. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what happened is thumbs down on both situations.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The 24-year-old girl who sings like an angel invited the recording engineer to a party. He showed up, and she was there hanging on another guy.
She was ignoring him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ooh. She might not have known. She just thought they were friends.
Right. Now.
Or she was trying to give him a message.
Or that.
Right.
Yeah, I would do that.
It could be. You would do that? You would slobber yeah. over some guy to let another guy?
I'm very bad at confrontation. So yeah. I would do like to let him know so I wouldn't actually have to have that conversation, and then he would still not get the message. It would be very awkward.
What would you do with the guy who you were suddenly hanging on who now is confused?
He wouldn't be confused. I'd be like, come here, pretend you're my boyfriend. And then, yeah, he'd probably think that.
Because
like,
Laura uses men.
Guys will get confused.
Laura uses men.
You're right.
And they do her bidding.
Yeah, they don't.
And so my other friend, who was in love with her boss, and probably still is, they started doing stuff together. He started including her in his group of friends.
Right?
They went to concerts together.
Hollywood
Bowl. They went out for drinks together. And finally, she just decided she was going to tell him that she was into him. So she told him, and his response was, oh my gosh, really? Wow, I didn't know that. If I was into you, I would have asked you out. And he starts talking about how his ex-girlfriend he's still in love with, and he's going to get back with her.
Yikes.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
So it was really painful. And then he shows up with the girlfriend at one of her comedy shows and sits in the front row.
What?
So I think he's just an ass. Because
yeah,
don't
that's
you
an
now,
ass
now
move.
Let me ask you guys a question. Don't you think that once you go through the heartbreaking, angst-ridden, I don't even have the right word to express mm-hmm. how difficult it is to actually tell someone that you're into them, that at least, even if they're not into you, which usually if you have to tell someone you're into them, they're not into you, or you would have figured it out already
right.
without having to say that. But once you've revealed that to someone, doesn't that relieve you of having to see them hang on that other person in your presence where you work?
You'd think.
Shouldn't they have enough sensitivity
to
not show up to where you work with the person that they're currently dating?
Exactly.
That should at least give you some freedom from having to face that awkwardness. If you confess to someone, hey, I really have a crush on you, shouldn't that give you something?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm going to be sensitive to that and not be hanging all over my girlfriend in your presence. He shows up and sits in the front row.
Yeah, that's just... And you know what... I'm wondering if he wasn't leading her on anyways, because...
I think he was.
Because you don't... I don't know. I never... Like, if you feel... Well, for women at least, because guys really are kind of clueless sometimes.
Huh?
But I mean, I always feel like I can feel if someone's interested in me. Like, I, like, pick it up, and if I respond to that, and then suddenly, you know, like, it flips around. It's like, I usually think, like... Maybe they changed their mind, but like I was, you know, I get the vibe. I feel the vibe.
Mm-hmm. I think it's that he wanted to know if he could have her interest. And once he
maybe,
gained,
maybe that's
and
it.
That makes work fun for him, you know, to have someone
guys
to flirt with.
Is that a thing that guys do a lot? Just to see, like, I wonder if I could get this woman and then.
It's the, yeah, I'd say that's accurate.
Happened.
It's the idea of knowing that one could conquer.
Right.
And sometimes the knowing is enough.
But I've decided, and I came to this decision before this event happened with my friend, but I've decided that I am never again, and I've only done it a couple of times, but I am never again going to tell a guy that I kind of like him. because if it gets to the point where you have to, and like your friends will be saying, well, you should just ask him because then you'll have closure. But you know what?
I'm going to predict something.
What?
I predict in the next month or so, Wheezy is going to meet the man of her dreams.
Really? Where am I going to meet him?
I don't know. I just predicted something major, and now you're wanting more info from me.
And you'll have the dilemma of, do you tell him?
No, but no, my point is she's not going to tell him, and he's going to be a very intelligent man, and he's going to think Wheezy's out of his league, and so for like years and years and years, for like 10 years, they're both going to have like this tremendous longing for one another. And because Wheezy's decided she's not going to say anything, they're both going to be in agony. And then it'll come out when I tell him, you know, Wheezy's kind of hot for you. He's be like, oh, why we wasted 10 years of our lives.
So you're saying I should not have that ultimatum? I should not make that ultimatum?
I don't know.
Don't paint yourself.
Have you
into
ever
a
told
corner.
A guy that you were into him?
I don't know. I think you know what? I don't know if I've come out and said I really like you, but I think I make it obvious.
You mean by stripping?
By passing a note. No, but I do. I mean, I'll flirt more. I'll make conscious eye contact.
But if we think it's obvious, do men get what we're trying to put out there?
When your hand is on the front of their pants and they don't get it, then
that's a good sign.
That's
to move
all
on.
Yeah, I mean, then I take that as maybe, but not always. Maybe he's not into me. So then I have to unzip his pants, and then I know if he still doesn't respond.
But then it's awkward. At that point, he's unzipped, and it's very awkward.
Right. And then when he brings a girl to one of my shows after I've unzipped
his
pants.
But is it
Betsy, though? I mean. It's Betsy. As long as you're into Betsy, it should be okay. No, but it is a dilemma because we're not supposed to do the asking out.
I feel so it's really like, bad. And I'm going to have to apologize to poor Deb, too, because I told her about a dozen times, just ask him out already.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you did give her that.
But see, that is, yeah, that's...
Now I feel terrible, too.
But that's the thing, though, because, I mean, I guess the main point is you're always going to run the risk of getting an answer that you don't want to hear. But now she has the answer. She knows it, so she can move on.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side to that is tons of guys would love for if they're at a bar and a woman finds them attractive, like they're probably not going up to every woman that they're interested in. If some woman sees a guy that she likes and comes up and says, hey, what's going on? Like, guys love that. So, you know, you can get hurt or not. But I mean, I think there actually are a lot of guys out there that probably aren't approaching everyone that they're interested in. And women would make it easier for them if they took a little, what's the word I'm looking for?
Initiative.
That's the word I was looking for.
But I don't know. I like Laura's approach better. Just a hand on the pants.
Sometimes I flick it. Ouch. Just like in school, you know, like if a guy punched you, that usually means he has a crush. If I spray mace in your face, it's just my way of saying I like you.
If you knee him suddenly.
I'm sweet on you.
We hope we've helped some people with their relationship things.
We hope we've helped people with relationship advice, with job advice, perhaps.
With...
some other
stuff. What else have we covered today?
Jobs. Diddy. I thought the Diddy story was, so that's
you
just
know,
nice.
You know, I think we've helped people know next time catch Diddy.
Yeah. Well,
let
no,
that be
don't.
A cautionary tale.
I don't think he's going to be stage diving in Ibiza anytime soon. Last week, didn't I mention that we should have a question for our viewers or for viewers to call in? Wasn't there something specific that we wanted?
See, she's
feedback
thinking TV
on?
Already. Our viewers, huh?
Our viewers,
yeah.
Call
yeah.
in.
I mean, our
she's
listeners.
Already moved on.
I've moved on.
It's going to be Wheezy. Soon.
You mean the week?
Wheezy and
Siggy. Wheezy and Sig.
The week before last, we asked people to call in with something?
No. I think I mentioned to you, we should have people call in about... I can't remember.
Last week when Ron was here?
No. No, I'm saying to you, not on the show, that we should...
You and I don't talk privately.
Yeah, we do. All right. Well, I want viewers to call in, or listeners. Damn it. People should call in so we can have some fun messages.
How you got fired. Oh, no. That's we're stealing his thing.
News.
Oh, but were you going to say anything about whether or not you ever got fired? Or was that what you asked me? We should have our own stories about getting fired.
My own story about getting fired. Actually, I tried to find the bit that I did, but it was when I was on Mini DV, and I don't have a Mini DV player anymore. But, when I got laid off from a certain television network... where a certain president of the network apparently was just fired himself, or I heard quit. Apparently, he's claiming he quit. Whatever.
Philosophical differences.
Our show was canceled, and they were getting rid of like a couple of shows, and a lot of people were getting laid off, and it was supposed to be this really hush hush event, but it wasn't that. I mean, we kind of knew like weeks in advance, and everyone was afraid to make eye contact with us because they knew that we're like the Walking Dead,
you're the lepers, yeah.
But the one of the things that sort of clued us in were the stacks and stacks of moving boxes in the lobby. And usually a company will get stacks and stacks of moving boxes when they anticipate employees needing to use those boxes for personal belongings. So that was the big tip off.
And then especially when you saw your name written on several of them. Laura's things.
Yeah.
I got laid off once. I was my first job in show business. I was a page at Metro Media Studios. And one summer they were going to have like a big dip in the number of shows that were taping there. And so our boss was kind of this deadbeat musician guy whose uncle had given him this job as the boss of the pages.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd sit in his office, you know, and he'd look all rumply, and his office was a mess. And the only thing that he knew how to write notes on was his calendar, because that was the one thing that he knew he wouldn't be losing, you know, that the big metal calendars where you turn the pages with the rings.
Yeah.
So he'd write, that's where he would write, you know, phone numbers, because that's the only thing he knew he wouldn't lose.
Right.
So he called me into his office. He said, I have to fire 10 pages, and you're one of the pages I'm firing. And I said, he had to randomly pick 10 people to fire. I go, but why me? He goes, you were eating an apple on the soundstage. So
those are loud.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe I should have gone behind some kind of pillar or something to eat my apple. But
it was during the
here's
famine.
What happened.
It was during the soundstage famine.
And all the pages were
the
starving.
The apple famine, and you were just flaunting it.
So check this out. So they were going to fire half the page staff because during the summer it was going to get really slow.
Yeah.
All of the pages, all 20 of us,
mm-hmm.
marched in unison to the boss's office,
yeah.
sat down and said, if you fire them, you fire us.
So they fired you all.
So they kept us all, and throughout the summer we each had like 6 hours of week of work a week. Well, 6 hours. We basically our work
had a
load
lesser
was,
workload,
right? But then when things picked up in September, everybody was still there, and you 10 other pages that stuck up for me and my other 9 firees. If you're out there, thank you.
Come on our show,
because that was come on the show. Oh, I have to quote this. My favorite line ever was one of my fellow pages. His name was Peter, and he was about a 35-year-old page. Which would give one wonder and pause as to why he was still a page at 35. Mm-hmm. And yet, he claimed to have a literary agent. Okay? So, one day, we were paging. We're standing there watching a show being taped. And we pages had not been invited to the rap party.
Mm-hmm. What is a page, by the way?
You seat the audience at a television studio. Yeah.
All right.
We had not been invited to the rap party. And Peter, and we used to have to stand in the back with our hands behind our back and, mm-hmm. and be motionless throughout the taping. And then if someone had to go to the bathroom, we would shoot them, because you're not supposed to have to pee during a taping.
Right.
So we were not invited to the rap party. And Peter looked at me and he said, you know what? Frankly, I'm outraged. These people need to know one thing, and they need to know it now. It takes a lot of people to make the magic happen. And that's the best line I have ever heard. Wow. It takes a lot of people to make the magic happen.
How long have you been making magic, Wheezy?
And that was 20 years ago. Wow. I've been making magic.
Wheezy, making magic.
And now I know that it's really only me that makes the magic happen. I'm just joking. It's a joke. You guys are supposed to laugh.
Can we get a page?
We should have a page.
We should have a page.
That'd be awesome. To go with the intern?
To sit us down.
Oh, wait.
I wonder where Peter is today.
Would I have to be the page, too?
Because Peter said that, and by golly, he had a point.
Let's find him. Where is he now?
Tom from MySpace can be our page.
Tom hasn't emailed me back. I'm a little upset.
What if Tom's a phantom?
Hey, by the way, if we have listeners, notice I said listeners.
If, and you said if.
All our listeners, I think there should be a little campaign to get Tom on our show, and that you guys should also take the ball and run with it.
Did you call, like, the head of MySpace?
No, I emailed Tom directly.
Oh, you need to go over Tom's head.
And I emailed the media inquiry thing. Because I consider us media now.
Hey, you want to hear a coincidence?
Yeah.
That guy that tried to fire me when I was a page, his uh-huh. name was Tom. It could be the same guy.
Yeah.
Or his son.
I think our show has gone long enough.
We've got, yeah, it's very long.
Next week, I've got a great outtake from Bing Crosby.
Oh, yeah. Yay, Bing Crosby outtake. And more of Paul Anka. We think he's still going to be mad.
And if anyone else has great outtakes, that they.
Celebrities losing their temper.
Send them in.
All right, you guys.
Bye.
Until next week. See ya. Thanks.
Bye.